We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Alumni Hall, online at alumnihall.com. You can shop 24/7 right there. Or check out one of their three area locations, the Mall at Westtown, Paper Mill Plaza, and the Pinnacle at Turkey Creek. We'll open up the phone lines, take your calls here, first half of hour three. Jump in quickly, 865-546-8200 on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. Up first is Roberto. I want to get his thoughts. We're going through Jarrett Garantano going rogue and basically taking – it's like a submarine captain that's just taking the whole ship down and everybody on board.
I just remember we have to draw later, Nate.
You know, I was really mad about that until Tennessee did what they did, and then I was like, yeah, just bring it on. Just, it's like that country – is it country or – I don't know, the Bring on the Rain song, you know, the lady sings. Just like everything bad's happening, just bring on another one. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll just take it. Berto, you're on three now. What's up, buddy?
Wow, so much to unpack, but it really sucks because I hear Davey and Billy, and I'm not here to harp on them, but you guys keep saying, you know, it goes back to the coaching. It's got to be on the coaching. It's something about the call. It's whatever it is, and you guys just said it a myriad of ways, but the truth is our coaching was fine. Our coaching was good on Saturday against Alabama. Frankly, our coaching was good against Georgia. We were just completely out-talented, and we could not stop their running game. Okay, fair. We just don't have the talent to do that. I'm on board with that. In my opinion, we out-coached BYU. The only game, in my opinion, there's two, that we've just been utterly out-coached is Florida and Georgia State. Every other game, we've been as good or better than the coaches on the other sideline.
Roberto, real quick, I'm not complaining about the in-game coaching for any game as far as today. I've not complained about that. I'm saying from a roster management standpoint as a whole, that's where my issue is.
Well, what are you going to do, roll out JT Shrout?
At this
point, that guy has as much pulse to be a quarterback at the University of Tennessee as any one of the five of us in this conversation.
And it's still better than putting Jarrett Garantano out there, in my opinion.
Well, then they should recruit a different kid.
As of the fumble on Saturday, I would agree. And so does Jeremy Pruitt, by the way. As of the fumble on Saturday, we're all in accord there, the JT Shrout. But until then, until Jarrett Garantano, I mean, take it for what it's worth, and look, we're going to beat on Jarrett Garantano here for the next week. That is going to happen. And it's all gloves off at this point. Like, I think the fan base has actually been pretty damn judicious on how they've handled him. As hard as they've been on him, and that's a quote from the Garantano family, just so you know. As hard as they've been on him, they've never seen anything like they're going to see this week. The vitriol from an Alabama loss that is squarely on his shoulders is going to be unmitigated hell on that family, okay? That's the truth. He needs to transfer today. That needs to happen. And second, Davey, I would agree, you got to have JT Shrout ready. As soon as it happened, because Garantano had taken us on a long drive to get us to the one. Is that fair? Are we all in accord there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
So
as soon as he did it, he said, that's your last effing chance. You're out of here. And jerked his face mask with one finger. I had a coach kick me in the head when I was on the ground one time, guys. Like, the amount of sissification of our culture is just outstanding to me. But all that to say, to be fair, he did jerk him as soon as it happened. But he had just taken us on a huge drive to get us down there. And at that, guys, why can't we be the team that pulls the upset with the wide receiver playing quarterback at this mm-hmm. point? Like, everybody in the freaking country has done it but us. Just throw Juwan, if it's that bad, throw Juwan Jennings back there, run the damn veer, and run it down South Carolina's throat. But Jeremy Pruitt doesn't believe you can win an SEC game that way. That's what he said. That's BS.
After an SEC game, he won that way.
Yeah, exactly. Run the freaking ball straight up the gut and run the veer. And obviously, Jordan has found something. Tim Jordan, he looked... That was the best game in Evol's uniform. And I mean, and that's including West Virginia last year. That was his best game in Evol's uniform. And you have two speedsters back there who can get pressure off the quarterback by the fact that if you fake a dive with one of them, the defense has to go with them because if they let them go, they're going to take it to the house. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think we can win on Saturday with Juwan Jennings at quarterback. I know I sound like an idiot, but it's better than having JG at quarterback. It has to be. And the amount of vitriol, and I've used that word twice, but I don't think people understand what that word means, But it would be like if the guy was on fire, you literally wouldn't urinate on him to put it out. Okay? That's how much this fan base hates Jarrett Garantano. I've never seen any player more despised than Jarrett Garantano. And that includes Arian Foster. Okay? So my thought is simply this. Whatever it takes on Saturday, by the way, were we all right or were we all right about Maurer? Why? Just why? I mean, it gave you a chance to win, and that's a coaching decision. And I, in a way, I tipped my cap, but we knew he was going to get hurt, right?
I mean,
so gutting.
It was just it was kind of a fluky play. If he had been running and, you know,
the fluky play where Alabama got away with one?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Well,
yeah,
hell,
it was
if
a
Maurer plays.
Fluke when the officials let him get away with one.
If he doesn't get hurt and Maurer plays the whole game and Tua gets hurt and you win the football game, are you glad you played him then?
Yeah.
I mean,
think
about us, you know, Saturday before kickoff, the chances of us winning the football game in our heads are zero. And really, if Tua gets hurt the way he did and Maurer plays the whole game, I'd say your chances were at least pretty believable that you could have been there.
Yeah, 30% or something like that. Yeah,
so
I would agree.
I mean, I can see it both ways on that one.
And I'll give the coaching staff some credit. I don't know if you guys heard the same thing I heard this week, but I was talking to some dudes inside the program, and the coaching staff was moderately confident that they could give Alabama what for on Saturday, and they weren't wrong. Alabama fans were texting me from all over the place. I have Alabama fans, I wouldn't say friends, but I'll say clients and people I know, all over the country, and they were like, man, if you guys beat us, we should fire Saban. I mean, literally, that's some of the text I was receiving. I was kind of like, well, if you fire him, we'll just trade coaches, okay? We'll just trade
you can have Jeremy.
it was just fun to actually care and believe you might actually beat somebody of consequence on Saturday. And I give a tip of the cap to the coaches. I actually think they're doing some coaching over there, which is the first time we've been able to say that since maybe the first year of the Dooley era, maybe. I mean, and our offensive line looks nasty, and I'll tell you why. Because Jim Chaney's been in that huddle every single day. It has nothing to do with Wilfred. Take care, guys.
Thanks for the call, Berto. I just watched a clip of when J.T. Shrout came in the game. Did you happen to see Juwan Jennings hit him on the head? You're the guy. Let's go. And then Trey Smith even reached over and kind of hit him on the shoulder pad. Like, they weren't
out on him.
They weren't like, where's JG? What's going on?
No.
I think everybody, I think if Pruitt walked in, I think if they didn't have the team meeting you mentioned and Pruitt just walked in and said, Garantano's in the transfer portal. You know, when we call a play and everybody executes it, you know, it'll work because we're all in this together. And sometimes we screw up play calls and sometimes you guys screw up plays. That's part of us.
But we have to be together. We have to be a team.
Simple as that. Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard.
You know, there are some sports where one guy can kind of take over and do his own thing. Basketball, for example.
Yeah.
You can't do it in football. You just cannot.
Especially not on the goal line.
No.
I mean, I feel like goal line offense is becoming like a huge separator between the best coaches in football and the worst coaches. Like, I feel like you can tell. I mean, you see it in the NFL every week. It feels like you see it in college football. I don't know. It's not even really goal line. It's short yardage offense. The guys that are really good in short yardage offense always seem to be the best coaches. I mean, people love to hate on their coach if they go shotgun and don't get it or whatever. Mm. But then, like, Urban Meyer, always in the shotgun. And they always get it. Cam Newton in the shotgun, Auburn, winning national championship because they always got it. Like coaches that get their offensive line to come off and they get the guys in the backfield to play with power on the goal line and they don't fall start. And when you see that, like the damn Chargers had at least a field goal to send to overtime and fall started. Tennessee fall started at the 5. Like you know, it's discipline from your offensive line to know the play, get off on the snap, not flinch, jump, whatever. Not hold down there, like not fumble the football, like execute the snap correctly, the pitches correctly, the ball handling. It's like the short yardage magnifies all the details that you preach all the time. And good teams find a way to score, and bad teams find a way to just mess it up. And in this case, you have one player.
I was going to say, I mean, you scored on the goal line with Maurer.
It's crazy.
You had it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, like, and I agree with Roberto. Like, I've seen it. You know, the venom is flowing. I'm just done. Like, I don't. Like, everyone knows now. Like, there's no need to just
belabor the point.
Well, I mean, there's even the point during the game, like, Russ and I were talking about it as it was happening, but just once you actually have Brian Maurer out there, just how you feel watching him versus watching Jarrett Garantano.
Yeah, like, you're excited. You're hopeful. Yeah. You're optimistic. And then
hope's the word.
Garantano comes in, and it's, I hope he doesn't screw it up.
Yeah.
It's very different. I mean, Nate said it. Maurer gets in. True freshman probably knows 10% of what he'll ultimately learn here. And he's just zipping the ball down the field. He's doing little shoulder fakes to get Juwan Jennings open on the button route. Like, he just does things that Garantano can't do after 4 years. He'll never be able to do. And I they trust him. They trust him more. I mean, I get what Roberto's saying. Like, he did lead you on that drive. I don't know what he completed on that drive, but they were not going to let him throw once they got inside the 20. They were not going to do it. And I wonder if that was part of it. Like, oh, they're not going to let me throw, so I'm gonna sneak it and score the touchdown. I'm needed. I'm important. I just don't. Like, some things you can fix with a quarterback: footwork, throwing motion, just knowledge. Some things you can't. And I think Jarrett Garantano has a lot of the things you can't fix wrong.
Garantano was 3 for 3 on that drive.
Really?
13-yard pass to Callaway, 8-yard pass to Chandler, and a 6-yard pass to Wood Anderson.
What did that 6-yard pass to Dom get us to? Like, what down and distance was after that?
2nd and 16, and then it was 3rd and 10. That was the defensive pass interference play.
Okay. And that's what got us into the red zone, right?
Correct.
Down to the
19.
And then after we got to the 19, we just ran.
Jordan ran for 8 yards, for 9 yards, for a loss of 1. Then he 2nd and goal from the 3. He got a yard, and then it was the 3rd goal.
Crouch
3rd and goal
down.
With the yeah.
I like that move of bringing Crouch in right there after Jordan had pounded him a little bit, bringing another bruiser. Gosh, he would have walked in.
Crouch almost scored on 3rd down.
I know.
Like,
I know.
If he had just a little more of a crease. Because the guy met him at, like, the 2, and he shoved him inside the 1.
Yeah, got a yard and a half after contact. And wouldn't have needed to break a tackle at all if Jarrett Garantano hands him the ball. I mean, there was – you could have drove a truck through that hole.
If you want to see the Pruitt's first words out of his mouth to JG, and you pull up the replay and watch ESPN, it's at the 2:35:45. That's what you're looking for. Actually, right before that. So look for 2 hours, 35 minutes in.
I'll look at that at the break.
Because it's after Shrout's already, like, gone 3 and out, and they go back and show it again. Show his first words, like yeah. It's hour 3. We'll hit a quick break. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. If you want to weigh in, last call for phone calls, 865-546-8200 is the Next Door Home Group hotline. We'd love to hear from you. Welcome back to 3 and Out.
I thought you forgot the name of the show there for a second.
No, I was reading a DM. So we're going to hit Jalen Hyatt's dad's comments on Twitter.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let's get back to the Next Door Home Group hotline and grab T-Carp. Get his thoughts. Last call for phone calls, 865-546-8200. Oh, it's a mess now, but I don't know. Hopefully this will – we've said this a few times. Hopefully this is the last straw. What's up, T-Carp?
Hey, guys. I really do hope this is the last straw, too, and I hope you guys are having a good morning. Looking through some notes, you know, looking at all the bad, you know, you had 12 penalties, the refs, the con, Darrell Taylor, all stuff that you guys have gotten into. Wanted to throw out there that with Maurer – playing the way he did, he still had more passing yards than Garantano. I think Maurer ended up with 62, and JG ended up
in a quarter and a half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next question is, what's the concussion protocol? Maurer's had 3 concussions in the last couple games. Is that right, Davey? We
two.
Talked about this.
Yeah.
There was a chest against Georgia. That was, I think, just he got all the air knocked out of his body.
Yeah, and I thought also getting knocked out, like they put the sleeve on his left shoulder mm-hmm. or his left elbow. And so I did talk to somebody, and they said that when it comes to concussions, it doesn't really matter if you have more concussions back-to-back. Each one's kind of judged individually, so that shouldn't be a factor. But it doesn't help that you keep having concussions.
Yeah, long-term, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they
do.
Has
anyone said it was for sure a concussion?
Yeah, Pruitt said.
He did say
after
the game? Okay.
Okay. Some goods and some things that I am proud of. Running the football for over 100 yards on Alabama is good. I am very proud of the way Tim Jordan ran, the way the offensive line. It finally seems like they are coming together, and that makes me very proud. I'm very proud of the defense. I thought they came together. They had some good timed blitzes. It was phenomenal. I was very proud of that, especially number 97, Middleton. Is that his name, Nate?
Yeah. He murdered their tight end, and it might have been the sack play. No, it was a wide run to Harris. Mm-hmm. He throws the tight end backwards, who runs into their pulling guard, and he knocks both of them down and then sandwiches in Harris for like a 5-yard loss. He's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I just remember him the first series of the third quarter. He made every play down at the goal line. I mean, it was great. I was very, very pleased to see that. The only other thing I've got is basically I'd rather have a chance like this and be upset that a few players made some bad plays and all that than having like no chance at all and just being absolutely just bored crazy out of my mind because we're just getting killed. Like I'm happy. Like I know I sound angry, but I'm actually happy. I'm very pleased with what I saw. I'm very pleased with the effort. And this feels good. I can get behind a team like this, and I can get behind a coach like this. Now, I'm not trying to sheep it up, but I saw some fire out of a guy that I thought didn't give a rat's rear end if he was here or not. So, guys, thank you so much. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp. Yeah, I mean, I mean that's all fans need to hang in there, you know, as the hope of improvement of effort. And you know, they did make a lot of plays in that football game, and there were a few more that could be made, and that gives you hope for the future. Let's go back to the phone lines and grab Rod. What's up, Rod?
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Morning, Rod.
How you feeling this morning?
Not sure, really.
You know, you got me doing better than we've been doing other mornings, though, now.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially about it among you is wearing a sock collar around your neck.
It's a better day than that one, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I tell you now, we can pile it on, JG, but first off, during the first quarter when old Maurer took us down there on the scoring drive, we made that thing 7-7. I was sitting there at the house, and I looked over at Rocky, and I said, boy, we can do this. Why can't we see all these other teams upset somebody? We've seen Illinois upset Wisconsin, and I started thinking, why not us? Why can't we do it? And you know, even after Maurer got hurt and JG came in, to his credit up until that fumble, he gave us a chance now. And everybody's piling on, and I get it. He screwed up. But unlike Robert, who fell in there earlier, I'd piss on him if he's on fire. I mean, he screwed up at the end, but he kept us in the ball game into the fourth quarter against Alabama. And none of the five of us sitting here would have ever thought we'd have had that chance if you said he's going in the game there in the first quarter, would you?
No, and I agree with that. He just erased all that, though. That's my thing. I mean, I'm with you, but he erased all of it with that selfish decision.
Well, I can't hear me say now. I don't know if you remember, but I called in, I mean, it was a long time ago, there at the beginning of the year before I kind of went out on him, and I said that I was done with JT, that myself, Clay Maurer, and South figure out what they had, because JT clearly wasn't the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they might as well play 0-2 and figure it out before Bailey comes in here. Maybe they both suck, and you know Bailey's the guy. It looks like Mallard might be all right. Him and Bailey going to have a little competition. But, I'd have put Stroud in there, and you can say whatever you want. He played one series against Alabama. But if you remember that game, what game was that where they played all three of the quarterbacks? Was that the BYU game? What game was that?
UTC.
And Mallard and Stroud both looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
People thought Mallard looked awful because he had sporadic drives. But then you see him play for a full game until he gets hurt, and you go, he ain't bad. And who knows? Maybe I'm not saying Stroud is, but I guarantee you he's better than what Garantano was. But I just hate piling all on the kid because he did keep us in that dang game, you know?
Yeah, he did. I'll give it, and I'll give him credit for all that. Again, though, he just kind of erases everything. Like, that was the issue. Like, he didn't need to do what he did. Like, he didn't need to be a hero. Like, his team, his teammates, his coaches, and the fans that root him on, they did not need him to do that. They needed him to run the play. And that's what's the most frustrating thing, is that I'm all for when your team kind of needs you to make a play and you're trying to make a play, that's fine. They didn't need him to do that there. They just needed him to turn around and hand it to Crouch and let him walk in the end zone.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. And who knows how the game would have turned out if we scored there. We may have still gone on the loss. Who knows?
Sure.
But I'm at least somewhat tickled that he able to keep us in the game a little bit there. And I get the hate, I get that anger, and it made me angry. I was mad as a wet in there on Saturday night there. But looking back, I think, man, we had a shot there against the number one team in the country in the fourth quarter. The kid screwed up. Pruitt won me back over. He made me feel like we got a shot. And even how the rest of the season plays out, this is something good to think about here on the way in. How many games we got left? Five games?
Yep.
What we got left?
Five left.
What would be a record that you think it would be all right, make you happy? I mean, obviously, I think he went 0-5. People will probably be back upset. What's he got to do the rest of the way to make you think, all right, we're still progressing, moving the right way? Because I think we can all agree that since them two losses to start the season, their team has gotten better and we've progressed. What do we need to see these last five to keep that going? I'll let you discuss that. Love you, boys. Talk to you later.
See you, Rod.
Thanks for the call, Rob. To me, it depends on the opponents. I mean, I just need them to continue to play better. They need to play a little better than they played against Mississippi State and Alabama. Just play a little better. If South Carolina plays a really good game, and that means you lose by 1 point, but I feel like they played a lot better, then I'll be happy. If South Carolina comes out and plays like absolute trash and you win by 1 point, but don't play, but play pretty poorly, then I'll be more disappointed. I really try not, especially later in the season, as these teams yo-yo up and down. I mean, hell, it's some of these teams with the way they play week in and week out. You can't just put a number on it. But I mean, if I feel like you need to win at least three more, mm-hmm. right? You got to beat UAB, and I feel like you're better. I feel like you're better than Vanderbilt. And you're probably better than Kentucky when they don't have a quarterback to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Missouri, it depends on how they play. If they play like they did at Vanderbilt this past weekend, then you better beat them. But if they play like they did in some of the other games, then it's going to be tough. Same thing with South Carolina. If they play like they did at Missouri, then you better beat them. If they play like they did at Georgia, then it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't need to put a number on it. If they play with the effort that they played with against Mississippi State, against Vanderbilt, I think the record will kind of take care of itself. But it does depend on, you know, which Missouri shows up, which South Carolina shows up. That matters.
I want to see a well-coached team. Like if they run that fourth down play against Alabama and you hand the ball off and Crouch, you know, if you play against South Carolina and it's fourth and goal from that spot and you hand the ball off and everybody tries to block their ass off and hits their, and you know, their big guy, whatever, Kinlaw, just swallows a guy and dumps you and you don't make it, that'll feel better to me than some of the just complete crap we've seen.
He needs to at least match last year's record, in my opinion.
No, that's okay. Three more wins. That's what I said, right? 5-7?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels right. I almost asked this question earlier. We were kind of talking about other stuff. It feels like almost every team on the schedule this year is worse than we thought they were going to be going into the season, except maybe Florida.
Georgia State.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty good.
But they're so, nah. They're so low. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying they're better than you thought.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. BYU's were actually worse, even though they beat Boise State. That was their first win in regulation this year, by the way, in weird statistical news. Their other two were both in overtime. But, I mean, Kentucky looks worse. South Carolina looks worse. Missouri looks worse. And Vanderbilt looks worse.
Mm-hmm.
At least right now. Missouri, though, up and down. They might look like
yeah, Missouri
a million
didn't
bucks.
Until they did.
Right. So, it's really hard to tell until you just see both teams play. And then sometimes that's even tough, too. We'll come back with more. Davey and I got a draw. Mm-hmm. Survivor punishments. Maybe I'll give you a little more Missouri insight. We can hope they play that way again when Tennessee comes to town later in the season.
No, yeah, you watch that, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll
good.
Do that next.
Good for you.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Tonight's Monday Night Football is brought to you by MyBookie. We'll have the game for you right here on WKGN, AM 1340, FM 105.7 here in Knoxville. But right now, it is time for us to draw our SEC Survivor Punishment. Just to recap, Billy had Georgia, who struggled, didn't score at all the entire first half against Kentucky. It was a monsoon.
I showed up to Elkmont. It was 14-0, and I was still pretty nervous.
Kentucky couldn't score. I mean, at
it
all.
It was 0-0 at halftime.
I know.
You said, did they complete a pass? Did you go back and check?
They did.
Davey said they finally did. Jake Fromm was only 9 of 12 for 35 yards.
I saw it with my eyes.
It was a downpour.
DeAndre Swift, 21 carries, 179, which is more than Tavion Feaster.
I wasn't the one who said it was Houston.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Swift had what?
179.
I'll be.
This was
beating by 4 yards.
This was the week.
Accurate flag. Oh no, that was.
This was
that
the week to
me.
Pick DeAndre Swift, I guess.
Well, there was a penalty, and I just decided to throw it. I don't necessarily have to get the guy right, like exactly with Wanya Morris and Tim Jordan.
Yeah,
you just got to throw it.
It's a good point. Good point by you. Who was the leading passer?
Burrow.
Yeah, 327.
He's good.
Houston had LSU. They beat Mississippi State 36-13. Although that game, they hung around for a little bit. It was like 9-7. LSU kicked three field goals to start the game.
Yeah, then it was over.
Got in the end zone. Davey had South Carolina. Huh. Mm. Feel for you, Davey.
I got cheated.
The Gamecocks were up 17-10 in the third quarter when the SEC official struck the right tackle. False starts. They allow Florida to snap the ball anyway. I swear it delayed the South Carolina defensive line as they hesitated because a guy false started. And their running back rips off a 75-yard touchdown.
It was LaMichael Perine.
To make it
17-0. He's been kind of the late-game killer lately for them.
There were a couple other questionable calls. How Will Muschamp livid the fans in South Carolina's north end zone. Kept trying to hit the officials with towels and then water bottles.
I think it's hard to throw a towel.
Well, they were wet towels.
True.
And they were coming from right behind the. So it was kind of a mess in Columbia. It was a downpour there. Kyle Trask, 21-33, 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. So Davey went down in that one as South Carolina got the defeat, 38-27 to Florida.
And then you had the Tigers.
I had one of the biggest favorites of the weekend. I think second biggest favorite, only behind Alabama.
Someone said Vanderbilt might sneak around and
sneak up and beat somebody.
Hmm, who was that?
Must have been you.
Yep, it was. Thank you. I warned you not to feel too good about Missouri. Barry Odom, he'll let you down.
Missouri cracks the top 25, goes on the road to Vanderbilt, where there was hardly anyone there. And
Homecoming.
Somehow, some way, I mean, Missouri just looked awful. They looked like Arkansas from the week before. Kelly Bryant couldn't find anyone open ever. Like, he dropped back to pass, he'd have all day, and he'd never throw the football. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then their running game, they wouldn't stick with it at all. And then for Vanderbilt, it's the Keyshawn Vaughn show. 29 carries, 96 yards.
It's not very good.
One touchdown, four receptions, 80 yards, and another touchdown. Keyshawn Vaughn scored 2 out of 3 of the Vanderbilt touchdowns. And Vanderbilt gets the win 21-14 at home to put me into the bucket of death.
I drew first last time, Nate. I'll give you the option of drawing first or second. It doesn't really matter to myself, but I will give you the opportunity to take your pick.
Man. I might need the list. We're only halfway through, right, the season? Mm-hmm. Can't really veto at this point.
Too risky.
I know. I feel like there's a lot of decent ones left. I think I'll go first, Davey. Cue the music. You got the list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not allowed to see it yet.
Why not?
Because I don't want you to.
As long as you have it up. As long as you can show me that I got an accurate punishment.
Why do I always get accused of lying and cheating? I don't do that.
You're good. You've had opportunities where you could have, but you haven't. So we'll trust you until you sneak it when the running
Just draw your damn helmet and shut up.
I'm trying to stall.
I noticed. That's why I gave you the hustle up.
That's got to be bad.
Cowboys.
Dallas, have they been drawn?
Surely Dallas is bad.
Sour challenge. So it might be Warheads, might be something else, I'm fine. So,
okay.
Now, careful, Davey.
That can ruin your life forever, Nate.
It gave him a cavity.
A cavity.
15
no,
minutes.
No, it didn't give me a cavity.
One day.
You said it did.
Candy no, can't give you a
I
cavity.
I said it exposed the nerve.
All I have to do is brush your teeth
Isn't
after.
Isn't that a cavity?
I don't think so. I think that's slightly different.
A cavity is when you've got a soft spot in the tooth.
Expose the nerve?
I don't think you can... I need Dr. Daniel Smith. I'll get him on the horn later today of Dental Arts Oliver Springs. Shouts out to one of our longest running sponsors here at Fan Run Radio.
That could have been worse.
I don't think you can get a cavity from one day of sour candy.
But you can expose a nerve?
I didn't say you could do that either. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying you can't get a cavity. Expose a nerve. If your nerve is already exposed, it can maybe just make it hurt.
You've got some nerve.
I'm going to say
maybe you already had a cavity, and this just made it
Yeah, that's
worse.
What I'm thinking.
I've had one cavity in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
It was where, when I had braces, part of the band would always rub against it, and it was just an issue. The orthodontist was like, I mean, you could have done better, but it's likely you were going to have it either other way.
That's pretty good. You've only had one cavity if you had braces, because braces trap all the
I had braces for a little bit. I only had one cavity in my life. It wasn't with braces, though.
I don't view it as me not doing proper hygiene.
Mm.
Interesting.
I never had any cavities
until
braces.
Still doing the stall for him now? Yeah. You guys teamed up to stall for him?
He's got to come over here. I can't go over
this. This is just like waiting for the awesome kill here, right? Like, I just knocked out one of the ones that's not... I mean, it's not good, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, no, who we got?
Browns. I want to say I've drawn them.
Yeah, they're not on this list. Next up.
I don't think the Bills have been drawn.
I thought they
Buffalo
had.
Bills.
What is it?
Yeah, that was you, Little Giants.
Oh.
What was Browns, Billy?
Sardine, right? No, maybe. Yeah, I think that's right.
Who? Seahawks. It's already, I think.
That was last
no.
year.
No. Ice Bra. Oh.
Yes!
Ice bra. Every other segment, you will be shirtless.
It's like the ice pants.
With a bra.
We changed the ice pants to ice bra.
Ice bra. He always gets the cold ones. Brain freeze, ice diaper, now the ice bra.
I guess I thought we drew this because this was ice pants last year.
It was, yeah. He drew that last year. Alley-oop. He's mad at me. He's been trying to hit me in the face with this thing.
That's
Watch
so
out,
great.
I was trying to think of my strategy.
There is no strategy. You sit there and you freeze your nipples off.
He's talking about how to throw the helmet back at me so I don't catch it. He's angry.
I'm going to try to
Because I went, yes.
I'm going to try to find a way out of this one.
Go ahead, veto it.
I'm not vetoing it. But we've discussed that if a significant health hazard is possible, we have to slightly bend the rules.
That's why it's every other segment. You get a segment to warm up.
Yeah.
And we're going to protect, at least from direct contact with the ice, your nipples.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be...
If your legs survived last year, your chest will survive this year.
Yeah.
But my legs did not have direct exposure to the ice.
What did I just say?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Pay attention.
But I'm responding to what he just said. He said, if your legs survived last year, I was like, yes, but I didn't have direct exposure. Yeah,
and what did I just say?
I will not have...
You'll make sure
you
won't have
period of time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be directly on your nipple.
I'm not counteracting. I'm not going against you right now.
Athletes take an ice bath. Yes, listen. Athletes take ice baths. That's hard to say. Ice baths after games.
I realize that.
They're in there for like an hour. It's direct contact with ice. You're fine. Quit trying to get out of it.
No.
Just sit there and have
part
ice,
of the game.
Ice
part
boot.
Of the game.
You're
going to
have
figure
ice
out how to
boot.
Get out of the game.
How many weeks have we done this now? This is 8 or 9. Well, this is 8.
This is 8. Davey is now
7 of 8.
He's losing.
Right.
7 of 8 losing.
That is incredible.
Who was your one win?
Alabama 1 week.
Nice.
Not bad.
I think that might have been the week they had like the closest margin of victory, too.
Like A&M.
The cooler. South Carolina, I mean,
have you guys seen
probably,
next week's
probably
schedule?
Had a beat, and then all those penalties. Yeah, because Georgia and Florida are on bye, so there's 2 wins that probably taking off.
You got Missouri at Kentucky. Not going to feel good there either
way.
No,
either way.
Arkansas is a sure loss. Alabama's a sure win at home as they take on the Razorbacks. South Carolina, Tennessee, toss up. Auburn's at LSU, so it's one of the few weeks that LSU might not be a guaranteed winner. And
yikes.
Mississippi State travels to Texas A&M. Everybody's in conference that has a game.
Gonna be a fun week.
Yeah. Back at it again.
I'll take that Bama helmet and be very happy.
Final segment. Back at you next. Final segment of the program. Appreciate you joining us on this Monday, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Fun weekend of college football. Gonna have to really evaluate my waiver order on the playoff picks. How about Wisconsin? Completely choking.
All four of my teams won.
The week before the big one.
All mine did not win. Shouts out, Boise State. Picked them up. And dropped Florida. Florida wins, Boise State loses. But Penn State. Auburn and Georgia. All won. Boise State, though.
You guys got that Utah game picked correctly. Congrats on that one.
Thank you.
I missed it. I had him
winning.
That
was a backdoor cover. That was some BS.
Man,
there.
Penn State just...
I don't think you call that a backdoor cover when the favorite scores again. I don't know what that's called, but I don't think it's backdoor.
No, that's right.
When the favorite scores
it's
again
just a,
to go
it's
over.
Just a late, weird cover. It's like they didn't dominate the whole game. Back,
yeah,
it?
Moss had like so, a,
I'm pretty
a really,
sure a
really
back,
long running
I'm pretty
back.
Sure for it to be a backdoor cover, the favorite has to have already covered, and then the underdog scores to get it back into the underdog covering.
I thought, and I could be wrong, but I thought a backdoor cover was just whenever there's a late touchdown that you're not expecting because the game's already out of hand, and that touchdown then gets you over the top to therefore cover. No pun intended on the over the top.
This is Urban Dictionary, but in sports betting, a backdoor cover occurs when the team you wagered on covers the spread in the last minutes of the game.
It has to be the team that's out of the game. It has to be the underdog. That's what I mean. The team that's losing.
Not based off
scores
what you just said.
No. Well, I'm just
that's
this
called
definition.
The underdog backdoor cover. I think backdoor cover is just late, meaningless points that cover one way or the other. I agree with you. Normally, it's like the bad backdoor beat because you've got the win, but I think it can be either way.
Titans covered a half
every
point.
Definition except the one you read on this list mentions underdog. But anyway,
I want to go with Houston's then.
That's fine. It's fine. It's a fair.
I got it right.
General thing, and then yeah, if you get it right, you get flagged. That's the way it goes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Should I just do this all week with the flag, or is just one day?
Yeah,
good
I mean,
enough?
It's gonna take all week if you're gonna catch up with those Bama refs. Oh, sorry.
Hit our cameras.
Oh, Billy's got a little shaking view there.
Oregon, big win on the road at Washington. They hung on. That was tough. They were a 2.5-point favorite. That was looking dicey.
That was a good game.
Did you guys see the Washington player lay down in the end zone?
No.
Nope.
So they did the kickoff thing. Chris Peterson,
of course.
He
hid back there?
He hid in the end zone. They threw it back to him. He ran that out to like almost the 50-yard line. Got flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Can't do that anymore. You can't hide in the end zone.
Did not realize that.
They took that out of the game.
You can't hide on the field?
And Chris Peterson didn't even know it was a rule anymore. It was a new rule. It was a couple years ago they put it in, apparently. They're just taking all the fun out of the damn game. You can't hide in the end zone. It's unsportsman. To basically run trick play. Are they just going to take out the flea flicker next? Is that unsportsmanlike?
If you got 11 on the field, isn't it the job of the other team to locate the 11?
When they kicked the football, he was standing on the 2-yard line, standing up. As the ball was being caught by his teammate, he ran into the end zone, laid down. And then his teammate caught it and started running, he jumped up.
That shouldn't be a penalty.
I feel like if you start, that's why they have the whole rules about coming inside the numbers. Like if you sub inside the numbers, then you can go anywhere you want on the field to play.
The Chicago Bears are trash, but their best offensive special teams and defensive player on Sunday was Cordarrelle Patterson.
He had another kick return touchdown. They called him the big fella when he was running it. And I was like,
really?
He is a little bigger these days, but he's outrunning your entire team. It's a weird
102-yard kickoff return.
So some flabby.
I'm telling you, if they hadn't moved the kickoffs up, he would probably break Hester's record. That guy is a freak on kickoff returns.
Anybody have Baylor in the playoff picks?
Me. I picked up Baylor in Minnesota.
Big win for the Bears on the road to Oklahoma State. Do you know that both Texas and Oklahoma have to come to Baylor's place? They got a shot.
They'll beat Texas.
Well,
Texas almost lost to Kansas.
Matt Rhule. Honestly, man, that's looking like one of the best hires in the last couple of years.
Les Miles.
They needed it.
Almost had Texas. I mean, had them.
They were going to, what was it? They were going for two to take the, yeah, they were going for two to get the lead. Or no, they were kicking to tie. And Texas blocks it.
Returns it for two.
Then they go for two to tie late. Get it.
It's 48-47.
Then Texas drives.
Digger the kicker.
Yep. Hits it.
Pops it from, it was pretty short. I think it was like 30-something yards. Texas survives the hatter.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Les. I like Les Miles. Kansas, making him a threat. Interesting. All Davies teams won. Bama, Florida, Baylor, Minnesota.
I was happy for my Appalachian State Mountaineers.
Well, you're what?
They're trying to...
That's your team now?
They're trying to get... Well, I mean, not like a playoff team, but they were trying to catch and pass Boise for the New Year's Six Bowl.
Gotcha.
For the bowl game. Did Obviously, they won't make the playoff.
Louisville play Clemson?
Yes. There was a fight.
They kept it close there for a good bit. And then
yeah, Trevor
Clemson's
Lawrence is
on,
not having a good year.
ETN hurt his hammy pretty bad, though. I was watching that. I didn't see anything after it.
He did. He ran for like 180-something yards on 12 carries.
Yeah, it was like his last carry of the game.
Oh. I think Scott Satterfield's going to do really well at Louisville.
I like the way they play.
Oh, yeah. App State plays South Carolina after Tennessee. So if they could beat North Carolina and South Carolina the same season, I mean, they'll end up, if they're undefeated, they'll end up in the top 15.
Be big.
For sure.
Very big.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the Monday edition.
Optimism Tuesday.
It's going to be a fun show tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
No Jared Garantano talk because it's Optimism Tuesday.
If he's in the portal.
Nice spin move.
The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.